The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Work Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's True Wealth, presented by Little John Financial Services. Here is David Littlejohn with True Wealth on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Gang, welcome to the best Tuesday you've had all week. You're listening to True Wealth. This is Justin Bruggeman. I'm here with
Matt Dixon.
David is out of the office today, so we're going to try and cover for him.
Okay. We're going to do our best. I think we've got this, though.
So, Matt, when we were talking in the office, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, hopefully our wives aren't listening, because we're going to be talking about money and how it relates to your marriage. And the dynamics. It's this big interwoven thing, and sometimes it can be awesome, and sometimes it could use some work.
Well, the best, we're talking about finances, so
yep.
Not necessarily about the investing or the planning. This is about how money runs through your life, and then how it changes, because when you get married, which I'm going to steer this a little bit to more newly married or just about to be married couples, which it can relate to past all of it.
Oh yeah, if you're married and you've been married for 20 years, this is still going to apply to you, because the odds are pretty high that you've got one or two bad habits lingering around. And maybe today is the motivation for you to make a change and improve that at marriage.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm shooting for the stars here, Justin. But you know what? I can be optimistic on the radio. I get to do that.
We're not doing full counseling session over the radio.
Well, you know what? My initials are MD, so
right. It
counts for something.
There you go. So when we're talking about this aspect of with marriage and combining finances, because of course, which before you're married, it's just one person typically mm-hmm. that you're taking care of, after, say, your parents are taking care of you, and then you're combining.
Yeah, and that can be a pretty rough transition when you're first married.
It can be. And I was looking up some weird statistics of 46% of arguments within married couples are about finances.
That seems like that's pretty high.
It is.
Almost half of every argument is related to money.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is. I don't know. I don't know for you, but for me, it's is it really that much? Now you've got me sitting here thinking about all the fights I've had over the last 12 months, trying to document those and be like, what's that one about money?
Which we're going to go through a list of some different stages, some different topics, and we're going to work through it.
Should we kind of start at the beginning?
We should.
Because when you're first getting married, maybe even before you're married, can you think of anything before you're married that would be a good recommendation? I know one comes to mind for me, and that's kind of like a full disclosure moment, right?
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, before we get married, you should probably let all the cats out of the bag on what you've got in the closet.
I love the phrasing that we looked up for. It was discuss your demons.
Yeah, what financial demons do you have hanging around?
And what it means by the discussion of your demons is, when you're combining, which one partner may have more debt, one mm-hmm. partner may have more responsibility the other partner doesn't know
right.
about.
Right. She might have a Ulta problem, and that Ulta card has a $10,000 bill, and you're like, honey, we're going to have to rein back how much you're spending on lipstick.
May have to scale up. You never have too much lipstick, Matt.
Yeah.
And we're going to kind of jump around on these topics. Is one, which is don't set yourself up as a disaster
mm-hmm.
for a disaster, which that's talking about paying for the wedding, the honeymoon, and which I looked at some crazy statistics. The average cost for a wedding is $26,000.
I can't imagine spending that much money.
Right.
I don't know about you, but the thought of, and I've been to weddings that have been over like 40,000. And sure, you know, they're amazing. They're beautiful. But what's the burn rate per hour there? You know, you have a like a 4-hour wedding and it's $40,000. Yeah. Was the $10,000 an hour worth it? Ooh. Maybe. It might be.
That will ring into a later topic of CPUs, cost per unit.
Yeah.
Of use.
Yeah, exactly.
Or cost per use.
My mind goes to like, what's this costing me per hour?
So, the big thing is having that discussion, and mm-hmm. which, because the hardest part is, so if you...
There might be some deal breakers in there.
Yeah. Depending on, you know, what the financial situation is. I mean, if you're accumulating a bunch of debt mm-hmm. to get married, then you're already starting the marriage process is crawling out of a hole.
For me, it was a deal breaker. I'll throw it out on air. I was in a relationship. I was dating someone, you know, it kind of was a little bit serious. And the discussion came up with money, and they were making a decision to purposely go into debt,
mm-hmm.
like $40,000-$50,000 on something that I thought wasn't necessary. And I'm like, long term, if that's how you plan to spend money, like, we're not equally yoked here.
Right. Right.
Like, we're just not. You and I have a much different sense of money. So I think that's why talking about things and discussing those demons, as it, you know, is listed here, is something that's important, because two people can be very, very far apart on finances. And if you're not close, it's probably not going to work long term.
Maybe.
I'm just going out on a limb, throwing it all out there.
Because even typically what you have is, you usually, which, yeah, crazy debt, mm-hmm. that can be a deal breaker, is typically in a relationship, which this is not always, I'm talking statistically,
yeah,
most
statistically
common.
Statistically the most common.
Is you typically have a natural spender and a natural saver in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're both natural spenders.
Oh boy.
It might be a wild ride.
Yeah.
And if you're both natural savers, is you may be missing out on the experiences that you should be, because all you're doing is saving, 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 mm-hmm. instead of enjoying the experiences that you could.
Yep.
Most common is you have the combination of the two. Is
right.
One is a spender, one is a saver. One heavily watches the finances, the other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But discussing with the demons, so mm-hmm. we can go back to, is a very important concept of knowing where your money is as a couple.
Right.
Where it's flowing, where it's going, and also is understanding your partner's mindset. What are...
Oh, that's a huge one.
What are their independent goals mm-hmm. based on your goals together?
Yep.
Which they can be very different, which it can be hard conversations.
Yeah.
But they're also conversations that, well, for the sake of your marriage and your finances are important. And having those conversations often, because, I mean, my needs change, so do my wife's needs change, which right. they might not be on the same level.
Yeah. I think you're kind of leading into the comment that it's like communication is the main mm-hmm. piece here, because if you're not communicating about it, or you can't communicate because you're always angry,
mm-hmm.
well, that's a pretty big problem, because if you can just communicate and talk and figure each other out, then there's a lot more leniency, I feel like, because you know where they're coming from and you know mm-hmm. why they're doing what they're doing.
And it's an understanding of maybe the flaws or not flaws, which... My flaws and your flaws may be two different things, mm-hmm. which to us, they might not be flaws.
Right.
I mean, how much money did you bet on fantasy football or
right.
DraftKings, you know?
Yeah.
Which that might not be an important thing to your wife or to my wife, but it happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like my wife, she knows that I'm going to spend money on fishing stuff, right? And it's like, Matt doesn't spend much money, but when it comes to fishing, he's going to open up the billfold and he's going to spend some money. And most of the time, it's pretty reasonable. So she's given me a long enough leash. but you know, and I know where she's going to spend money. She's going to spend money to go travel. And so I know that that's important to her. Mm-hmm. I know that that's a big part of her life, and that's what kind of keeps her going, and she knows fishing kind of keeps me going. So we allow each other some grace in those areas. And I think, like you said, it's a lot about kind of the discussion part, the communication part, and then knowing what makes the other person tick.
Right. And then, which, again, I'm going to say that this is not advice. This is not what I'm saying you should do, which, you know, there's differences on. The always question is, so do we combine finances?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we keep everything separate and work it around that way?
That's a tough one for a lot of people.
It's very different for everyone.
Yeah. You can't really say that there's just one method
that
makes sense there. But I think for the majority of the time, I think you can kind of lean one way or another on that.
And I think a lot of the aspect of that is you are a team in marriage, and you're, you know, whether the income's higher for one or lower for the other, or they're both the same, or one's not working and one is working, it's still a team. It's still a bucket of our money or their money.
Right.
So keeping it as one from a psychological aspect may help certain people. The others, some others, which it works out for some people, is they keep everything separate. They spend their own money, and some people have their combined.
Right.
And then they're separated, which combined, you know, it's going to pay all their bills, you know, overhead, food, things like that. Then they kind of have their own separate spending, so they don't feel like the other's micromanaging what they're spending money on.
Yeah, you can definitely make it work if the finances are separate. It might be a little bit harder just because I think that leaves room for, you know, fights and saying, hey, you know, well, you know, you spent money over here and covered both of us on this. I mean, I think it leaves room for potential fighting, but it can work. I think the big piece there is just kind of having a common goal that you both are saying, hey, this is what we jointly want to achieve. And if you have some common financial goals, then at least you can get on the same page and kind of get behind something. Whereas if, you know, one person strictly wants to put money in one place and the other person wants to be in a completely different place, well, now there's no common ground.
Right.
And that's a big issue, I think.
Right. I definitely do. I agree.
Yeah.
100%. And then another one is setting your eyes on the same prize.
Mm-hmm.
So establishing goals that are the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Like how much you want to put into savings, for example.
Right.
Like my wife and I were on the same goal with that. We have a number in mind. That's how much we want to go into savings each month. And the other piece of that is we look at it and say, and we do things maybe different than some, but we put all of our bills and all of our expenditures on a credit card. We only have one credit card. Everything goes on that. And we know how much should roughly be going on the credit card every week.
Right.
So we check it once a week and we're like, you know what? The spending was higher this week than it should have been. Let's just try and be a little bit more frugal this next week. And then the next week rolls by and we're like, you know what? Things are looking pretty decent. We're balanced it out. We can kind of continue spending as normal. And if we get to a spot in week three where we've kind of hit the max threshold or we're above a certain amount, that's when it's like, hey, we're eating out of the freezer for the next week.
Right.
Like we're going to skip the grocery store, or you know what? That shopping trip to the Marshalls can wait. So that leads us into setting a something with a B.
No, don't ignore the B word.
Don't ignore the B word, but I think we're coming up on a break.
We are coming up on
a break. So they're going to have to wait.
So when we get back, we will talk about the B word and to not ignore it. And you're listening to True Wealth on 1240 KQEN, 93.9 FM.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to True Wealth. This is Justin Bruggeman, and I'm with
Matt Dixon.
So we left the, or right before the break, we had the phrase is don't ignore the B word.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt, what is this?
It could be the most terrifying word in the entire dictionary, and it stands for budget. No yes. one wants to hear that word, right? Like, we want to just put the blinders on and run around and swipe that card.
Which, you know, I love budgets. Everything about them.
You know, you're kind of the king of budgets. Like, I've seen it. You've got an Excel sheet. Like, you've got it penciled out.
Which, when we're taught, which, crazy enough, I was looking up statistics and marriages and budgets and things like that.
Yeah.
If you had to guess, what percentage of couples actually have an established budget?
You would think like 50%, right? You would think that one out of every two has a budget.
Yep. Less than a third.
That's kind of terrifying. I don't know what they just like what they're classifying as a budget, but you should have something, right? There's got to be something there. Like, we have a weekly look at, you know, the credit card. Now, is it a budget saying I'm going to do this much for food and I'm going to do
right?
Yeah, maybe not, but we at least like kind of track it, right?
Right.
Like, at least track it.
Which, full disclosure, I'm not great at a budget. I like doing them for everybody else. I hate doing them personally.
You know what's really frustrating about it is I did it once, like a real in-depth look where I broke it down by every category. The most frustrating part was, in theory, you should be able to spend this much for this category and this much for this category. And then you look at it and you're like, man, I'd have a lot of money left over. But that just isn't the case.
No.
And it's because stuff happens, right? Yes. Like, your air conditioner needs cleaned. Right?
Sore subject, Matt.
Well, I'm having mine cleaned this week. Right? Like, it's part of life. You don't budget to have your air conditioner cleaned like once every year or two.
Right.
And so that'll hit you. And then it's like, well, this month I have to buy my hunting and fishing license. That happens once a year, and that's expensive. So there's these things that kind of sneak up, and it blows apart your budget. And then you get frustrated and you quit. I think that's where a lot of people end up, right? Like, well, I can't stick to it, so I'm going to quit.
Yep.
So I think that's why it's important to have the conversation and find out what budget works for you, because you can find something that works. We found something that works, right? We do a weekly snapshot of the finances. We go through and say, you know, we're over, we're under. Hey, we're under. I can go buy a new pair of golf shoes. So
you had to buy a new pair of golf shoes, though.
I did. Justin watched it. We were golfing together, and I torqued a little too hard on the drive and blew my golf shoe in two. But we finished the day strong and still got third in the tournament. So I'm pretty happy about that.
And establishing the budget is probably one of the most important parts.
Yeah, it is. It's of the hardest.
The money in marriage. Because it's the combination of two combined incomes. If both are working, there's different scenarios for everybody. You know, whether you have children, they obviously fit into a budget too, because kids do cost money.
Okay, you're freaking me out here, Justin. I'm looking on this sheet, and it's saying that on average, and this was in 2017, so like we're going what feels like forever ago in time, back when prices made sense, and the average cost of raising a kid to 18 in the U.S. was $233,000. That just seems like so much money. Like, I know that kind of that number kind of calculates if one parent stays home and doesn't work.
Right, it's like, missed wages, things like that too.
But man,
the extra cost of insurance, things like that. Which, I mean, if you were math, which that's just taking an average. It could be more or less depending on where you live and things like that. But it's about $12,000 a year.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that can't be too crazy.
So say someone looks at this and they're like, okay, things are getting expensive. I want to create a budget. There's got to be some software out there or something.
There is.
Yeah? I don't know that we can like make recommendations.
I don't think we can promote really software, which I can say what.
You know what? It's out there.
Yes.
That's good
there
enough.
There is. I mean, I can say what I personally use. It's called Mint.
Mint?
Yeah, Mint.
Okay.
And it's on the phone and it tracks things and it tracks
your
spending.
Do you like link it to your credit card or something?
It links everything, which I'm not promoting it
right.
because I'm not sure how that all stuff works. I'm just saying what me and my wife personally
right.
use.
A lot of the big banking apps now, at least like on mine, it will actually give me a snapshot month by month of what percentage of my money went to what section. Like,
right.
Did you eat out and spend 40% of your money on fast food?
Right.
You can find that out.
Yes.
It exists in there. So play around on your banking app because you can probably get a snapshot of it.
There's definitely plenty of software out there to help, which spreadsheets is how my brain works. So that's typically where I tend to run to, but you know, something on your phone that you can just kind of click and say, hey, and it'll even track like what your spending is based on last month to this month at this stage of the month. It's like you're $500 over budget on where you were last month. You're like, what the heck did I buy?
I don't know if you know this, Justin, but my wife has a chai latte addiction.
Okay.
She will not function without a chai latte. Like, it's out the window. And we were actually kind of doing some budgeting stuff and we were looking at it and I'm like, you realize you're getting one every day, right? And that's like $5-6. That's a lot of money a month. And I went online and I looked it up to see if I could find the exact recipe from where she was getting it from.
Right.
I found it. I found the exact ingredients and I brought them home. Like I bought like 4 jugs of the chai stuff and said, try this, mix it to this ratio, add some ice. She tried it and she's like, oh my gosh, it's exactly the same. And I'm like, I did the math. That's like 40 cents, not $5. And she's like, you have converted me. I will make this and take it to work every morning. That's a huge saving. That's over $100 a month.
The other question is she making it or are you making it for her in the morning?
Sensitive subject, Justin. you know, I've actually been pretty lucky. She's been making most of them, but I know my time is coming where it's going to be like, Matt, you're the barista.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's like, maybe. Well, you made dinner. The least I can do is
jack
make
of all trades,
right?
Bud. You got to do it all. So budgeting is extremely, and I would say probably the top, which discussing the demons, probably number one.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know the financial situation.
You got to know what you're getting into.
Yes.
Okay.
Because that don't want to be a curveball 2 years after marriage. Be like, weird, you have $50,000 in debt?
I've seen that happen. I've seen couples that have had that happen where they didn't give full disclosure. Oh, man.
So, you know, discussing the demons, having your eyes set on the same prize as expectations of spending versus saving as a couple, extremely important. Building that budget definitely makes sense.
The common goal thing,
yes.
I think, is a big one. Yeah, looking to the future and saying, where do we want to be?
And having both partners tracking and seeing where the money flows go, which sometimes you have a primary person that kind of takes care of all that stuff, but still having the knowledge of where the money is going is still helpful.
Yeah. You know, the more we sit here and talk about this, the more I'm going to keep going back to the common goal thing, because I know so many married couples that have been married for 20 or 30 years and they actually don't have a common goal. And it's really kind of sad to see, right? Like they each want different things, but they're too afraid to have the conversation of like, well, what are we actually going to achieve? And so you spend all this time spinning your wheels in a spot where it's like, well, that's not getting you any closer to where you want to be.
Right.
And then the other person spinning their wheels and it's like, hey, if you guys just get in the same rig and point the car in the same direction, you're going to be a lot happier. Have the tough conversation.
And at least communicating which typically you'll have together goals and then maybe separate goals.
Oh, and that's healthy too.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like me personally, I'm not super interested in traveling that much.
Me neither. But our wives, they love it.
They do.
Hey, there's an idea. Let's link them up, and we're going to put them on a cruise ship. We'll go golfing. I'll take you fishing. It'll be wonderful. It'll be great.
Cruise ship, I'm still game for.
Yeah? Is it because you don't have to do a ton of, like...
I don't know. Never been on one. Just curious how it would be.
I think it'd be fun.
So, yeah, the budget is extremely important. Having it together with the understanding of what you guys want as a couple versus what you guys want maybe separately. And there's absolutely zero wrong with that. And also, if you do everything separate, that's perfectly okay as well.
Just don't have secrets.
No. No, no, no.
Yeah, secrets, bad. Don't do it. If you're doing it, maybe it's time to confess.
You want to hear the
crazy? No, you know what? I didn't advise that. Yeah. I'm not recommending you confess those financial secrets. Do it gracefully if you're going to do it.
And did Maureen, 7% of the population has a concealed bank account, credit card account, or savings account that their spouse does not know about.
How is that possible?
Which I'm really hoping this does not mean that everybody that's listening to this is going to go to their spouse and be like, are you one of the seven?
Are you, basically 1 in 10. Right. We're almost to that point where it's like 1 in 10. So, yeah.
Which I don't know where they got that statistic from. I don't know if it's how concealed, just maybe one doesn't monitor it based on the other.
I'm really bad with secrets. I could never do that. The closest I came to that, one time I bought something, it was like $500. And I was like, man, at the time it was just a ton of money. And I'm like, I put it on like layaway and I just kept putting money at it. And then one day I brought it home and I'm like, oh, if Cheyenne sees this, she's going to be upset, even though she probably wouldn't have been. And I like hid it for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And one day I pulled it out. I'm like, check this out. And she was like, well, that's cool. And I'm like, what? Like, that's it? And she's like, oh, when'd you get that? I'm like, I've had it for like 6 months and I paid it off over the course of like the last 18. She's like, good on you for not dropping all the money at once. Like, you don't really need to keep the secrets. Right. You might feel like you do. You probably don't.
Well, we are running up on our next break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about giving each other some breathing room.
Oh, man.
And
if you don't have it, you need it.
Right.
If you already have it, maybe you are not fully taking advantage and appreciating it.
And we'll get right back into it after the break. You're listening to True Wealth on 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back. You're listening to True Wealth. And this is Justin Brugman, and I'm in the studio with
Matt Dixon.
That's trying to break the microphone.
Yeah, I'm always moving it around, and one of these days I'll break it.
So we talked about not ignoring the B word.
Budget.
Budget.
We just need a sign. Yeah. Budget. Make one.
About not keeping secrets, understanding the mindset of your partner, discussing your demons. And now we're getting back a little bit into giving each other some breathing room.
What does that mean? What do you hear when you think breathing room?
How I think of it is, which I'm personalizing this a little bit, is there's usually a like almost a dollar amount, which it's not a set dollar amount. If you or your significant other is going to go spend this money without having a conversation about it, like if you're going to go buy it,
$100, you go drop $100 on.
Yeah, I mean,
on a new golf club.
If you show up with a new car. That's probably a conversation you should have with your significant other.
Uh-huh.
It's like, hey, just bought a $70,000 truck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should have that conversation.
Probably.
But because whether you're the person that really pays attention to the finances or not, is not micromanaging your partner is important as well.
Mm-hmm.
And giving them the space, whether it's you or your significant other, you know, they make the money too, or they're a part of the income source. I mean, you know, if you have children or more than one child and your wife isn't working, trust me, she's making a lot of money doing that, because
yeah,
that's a full-time yeah. job
mm-hmm.
that deserves a lot more respect than is given.
Yeah, definitely.
And having the breathing room, to which some people will categorize it in a budget, say this is fun money, and each kind of person kind of has their fun money, which it can be combined fun money, separate fun money.
Mm-hmm.
But I know if my wife says, hey, she went out and spent, you know, $100 on something, okay.
Right, but you might get a little angry if it was $100 every other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the frequency of when of when those fun money expenditures happen.
Which I can't really talk, because I'm more of the spender than my wife is. So right. That would probably be me doing that. She's like, just stop it.
There's a fine line, too, between fun money and I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of, I think, fights happen. Because mm-hmm. one person might look at that and say, that wasn't fun money. That,
right.
Like, that was a non-negotiable, gotta have it, need it, not want it thing. And then the other one's like, no, you want it, right? Yeah. So I think that kind of ties back into our earlier conversations of understanding your partner's financial mindset.
Yeah. I mean, it's like spending $400 on a new golf club, that's a want.
Right.
Spending $400 on new tires for the car.
Yeah, you needed it.
Which it kind of brings into this next, which I got to thinking about this topic of is coming up with a system. And what I was reading is called CPUs.
Is this going to be some type of math equation that breaks it down?
Like, probably.
Because if so, you have my interest.
Yes. So cost per use.
Mm.
Which you'll love a little bit of this example. So say, let's say you're going to go out and you're going to go buy a $500 pair of shoes.
Yep.
They're these fancy shoes and you're only going to wear them 5 times a year.
Wow. Yep. Because you don't want them to get wet and dirty.
Mm-hmm. So right. Then you got, that's what? $100 per use.
Per year. Yeah.
Per year.
Yeah. Wow.
Is it worth it? So then let's go another way. It's assuming that we carry a briefcase, which we don't anymore because we have laptops and everything else. Is mm-hmm. go buy a $500 briefcase that you're going to use every single day.
Right.
The cost per use is less.
And it's protecting something that's worth $1,500.
Right.
So now you're double dipping on the usage.
And I could go the same way as, well, let's go spend $500 on a golf club, cost per use, which I would, to justify it, break it down as, all right, maybe it's a driver, so I got to drive, say, 16 times a golf round once a week. It's pretty cheap cost per use.
Right. That'd be interesting to approach things from, like, if you actually managed your internal finances that way, yeah. It's like...
That's where you get yourself in some trouble, because you can always justify your spending on what you're spending on.
Yeah.
Well, it's like cost for new tires. Go spend $500 on new tires. You
use it
cost per usage of an hour, a mile.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different situation, but it is an interesting thought to have when you're going and spending a lot of money on things that you may not use very much.
Right.
Which I will even say, we got a trampoline for our children.
Have they used it?
The cost per use for the first 6 months was great.
Okay.
Since then...
Has it dwindled?
Not so much. It just kind of dwindles, which is the same thing as we're talking about getting a swimming pool too, which I'm like, I want one, which my wife will use it too. So
Justin, I'm not allowing you to get a swimming pool. You're not allowed to have one. You have the river in your backyard. Go jump in the river. No swimming pool for you.
We have the kids, though.
It's a want, Justin, not a need. It's off the table.
I want a basketball hoop in the backyard, too.
Hey, you know what? That's pretty cool. You'll see me at your house if you put one of those in.
Yeah.
Okay, so breathing room.
The breathing room.
It's important.
It is very important. Trust your partner to make these decisions, but also have a combined understanding.
Mm-hmm. And when they make a mistake and they overspend, yell at them. Oh, wait.
Wait, no.
No, don't do that.
No, bad advice. Bad, bad Matt. Which kind of rolls into the next topic of the golden rule, Matt.
Patience?
Well, patience is... Patience, communication, you know.
How about you're a team?
Yes.
Team, okay.
You are one. You're a team.
Yeah.
So having those...
So don't treat them like they're on the opposite team. Don't yell at them. Is that where this is going?
Correct.
Ah. Well, strike three, I'm out.
Yeah. And that it really is especially... When we even see this too, is especially when one person is making a lot of all the financial decisions, and then bad scenario is something happens to that person that makes all those financial decisions, the other person's left in the dark.
Yeah, if you've been doing it by yourself for 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and you guys are retired and someone has a medical issue or something, mm-hmm. it's like, imagine being thrust into that, especially at an older age.
Right.
Ooh.
Which, I mean, I would have a really hard time which I'm sure there's ways, because my wife does really great about keeping passwords and things where I can find them. But I sometimes have no idea where stuff goes.
Right.
And if she wasn't here, holy crap.
Here's a good test for you. Lose your wallet. And then everything that's on auto pay has to be recalibrated and reset.
I wanted to just give you crap about, well, Matt, lock your car, but.
Yeah.
I can feel my wife rolling her eyes right now because.
Are you not the best at that, Justin?
No. No. If you know where I live and need to borrow a car, just stop in. It's probably there.
I just need a bigger garage so that I can pull the vehicle into the garage and never lock it, right? There you go.
And yeah, I could not imagine stolen wallet having to reset everything. I would lose my mind.
That's when you really know who knows what with the finances, because it's like, who pays the water bill around here? Does that just like magically happen?
It is. It's like paperwork at the office sometimes.
Right? Like, who handled that? Yeah. Do we have another employee I don't know about?
Right. So you did lose your wallet. How'd that go?
That was an absolute disaster in months of oh crap moments, right? Where it's like, oh crap, that was on auto pay, and now mm-hmm. I gotta give them a new card number. And making lists of all the people. Mm-hmm. I think there was like 20 things on that list, right? And you're like, well, I don't want that to get shut off. And you know, that's pretty important. And so, Cheyenne handles that. I thought I handled that. No, she does apparently.
Right.
So, hey, do you got a password for this? I've got a password for that. What a nightmare.
Having an inventory list that both sides has access to, that has account numbers, passwords, it has to be really important.
I know some people that don't do any auto pay, and I don't know how they do it, but it's like, every month, sitting at the table with the list, on the phone, giving the credit card number over the phone. And it's like, oh, man.
But
you know what you're spending.
But if you were to think about that, that's a great way to budget.
It is, because you know what your expenditures are.
I mean, it would maybe work.
Yeah.
It would maybe work. Maybe I should give that a try. Probably.
Yeah,
not.
Take everything off auto pay, Justin, and then you're going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Right. We're spending $25 a month on a gym membership that, like, isn't in use. That was the thing that killed me. Like, Cheyenne had a gym membership, and we have stuff at the house, right? You have all the weights. My parents have a home gym. Like, and you use the stuff at home, and you're paying for the stuff you don't use, and then my brain implodes. But patience. Patience, Matt.
But we are running up into our last break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about calling in reinforcements, Matt.
Ooh, okay.
And we'll get back to that. You're listening to True Wealth, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back. You're listening to True Wealth. This is Justin Bruggeman, and I am with
Matt Dixon.
So, Matt.
Yep.
Before the break, we talked about calling in reinforcements.
Who's the cavalry in this instance, Justin?
That'll depend.
It depends on who you need, right?
Yes.
Like, could it be a financial planner?
Yes.
Could it be someone at your church that talks about finances?
Yes.
Okay, it could be a lot of different people, right? But sometimes you need an outside mm-hmm. voice. That's just the reality of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, having a third party is great.
A third party is great if they're neutral.
Right.
If they're not neutral and it's your parents
yeah.
and you're bringing your spouse over and being like, hey, my parents are telling us, that's probably not a good idea.
Well, maybe. My parents would take my spouse aside before mine. So,
who's taking your side then, Justin? No one?
Yeah, probably no one.
Okay.
The dog.
I'm here for you.
Me and the dog.
I got a crash you can couch on. When you're
But yeah, if it's something that you're not able to, you're having a hard time establishing as a couple, ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, not sitting here telling people to go to couples therapy and things like that. If that's what you need to do, do it. That's fine.
Are you a licensed therapist, Justin?
I am not.
Darn. I was going to seek your guidance, but yeah. You're off the table.
And if you looked at my transcripts, my psychology grades weren't that great either. I pretend I know a lot, but I don't.
Okay.
So, you know, as the money goes through your life as a married couple, which we're just kind of going to recap some of this, which one, don't start off going crazy in debt if you can avoid it, because mm-hmm. it can cause some problems. Discuss the demons, important. Understanding your spouse and how they view money and how you guys view money as a couple, extremely important. Along with the B word, the budget word.
Yeah, don't ignore the budget.
Don't ignore the budget. Secrets.
Yeah, secrets are no bueno. Well,
secrets are bad in every way, shape, or form.
Make sure and give each other a little bit of breathing room.
Oh, yeah. Got to have the breathing room.
A little bit of fun money.
The
is
fun
important.
Money.
Because if you don't have any of that, right, you just feel like you're, what am I working for?
Right.
Yeah.
And somebody's very angry outside.
Yeah, someone's listening to this broadcast, and they're just sitting outside the studio with the horn on. I'm sorry. We busted your budget.
They're like, what?
That
are
secret
your,
bank
what are
account.
Your secrets?
Yeah, your secret bank account. You told your wife about it. She's upset. We're sorry. But no, in all seriousness, if you do need someone to be the moderator,
mm-hmm.
and you need to take an actual look at the finances and say, how are we doing?
Right.
Or maybe we just need some help getting to a goal.
Right.
They can call Justin. Or they can call me. Or maybe you talk to David. We've got people on the team. So you can give us a call. The phone number is 541-375-0898. Talk to Heather or Jan or Shannon. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to pick up. Let's talk. Let's figure out some way we might be able to help you.
Right. And we're going to segue just a little bit at the very end of this is teaching your children about finances.
Oh, you can't skip that part, right? Like, lay the groundwork healthy mm-hmm. for yourselves, because the kids are watching.
Mm-hmm.
They pick up on stuff.
Yes.
And so if you are modeling things the correct way, then the kids are going to be more likely to see that, pick up on those skills. And, you know, you talked about it earlier. There is software out there mm-hmm. to help with this stuff, right?
Absolutely.
There are programs, not that we're going to sit here and, you know, give advice on any one particular place, but like as an example, Dave Ramsey has his Financial Peace University. That works for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Might not work for you. But it's out there. If you're struggling with debt, that's something to look mm-hmm. at. It's something to consider. There are other programs. There are other ways to do it. Maybe debt isn't the problem. Maybe you have a lot of money and it is, it's, you want to be a good steward of it.
Right.
That can be stressful. And some, if you can do it on your own, that's awesome too.
Right.
Like, that's why we do this show, to educate people and to help them make better decisions.
Right.
Sometimes you need an outside voice.
Right.
So.
And which talking about the children, it kind of, it made me think of this when you're talking about cost per use, pretty much is, I got a a 14 year old son.
Wow.
And every single time a video game comes out, he wants to have it.
Got to have the new game, right?
But then he always retract to paying the old game he always plays. So I'm like, do you really want to spend your money, spend $40 or whatever it is on this game, which 2 hours from now, you're going to go right back to your old game. You're never going to see this game again.
I have that problem with video games too. Like, I am part, I bought the new Xbox, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, I have one. But guess what I want to play? The old one, where I can open the tray and put the disc in and I can play the game that I like. So, you know, that new Xbox really.
But we are coming up on time.
Are we really?
Already.
Jeez Louise, that went by fast.
And this is Justin Brugman, and I'm with
Matt Dixon.
And you're listening to True Wealth on 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
The preceding program was paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.